The environment is not the main subject of this book, but a seed was planted in 2003, shortly after I was appointed to the board of the David Suzuki Foundation, Canada's best-known science-based environmental organization. I was invited to join because of my experience as a public affairs consultant. After my first board meeting, we all adjourned to dinner at a French bistro in Old Montreal, where I was seated across from David Suzuki. Board members at our end of the table were having a lively conversation about the lack of action on environmental crises when Suzuki looked at me and asked one of his famously blunt, straight-to-the-heart-of-the-matter questions. Why aren't people paying more attention? There is enough evidence we're destroying the planet. Why aren't people out in the streets? How do we motivate the public to demand action? A silence followed, and I didn't produce much of an answer. But the question struck a chord with me for two reasons. First, because I was talking to Mr. Standing Ovation. David Suzuki is an inspiring speaker, one of the world's great environmental educators, and here he was asking my advice and expressing frustration at not being able to motivate people. That was humbling. Second, since hanging out my public relations shingle in 1984, I've dealt with all kinds of prickly front-page public relations controversies and crisis situations. Food poisonings, labor disputes, market crashes, animal cruelty charges, bodies disappearing from funeral homes, taser deaths, multi-million-dollar bank fraud, exploding sawmills, leaky condos, election and sex scandals. And I'm seen as one of the gurus in my field. But this was a communication dilemma of a different class, and the question baffled me. I remember muttering something about the sad state of politics as I fumbled for an answer, but the truth was, I had no idea. These questions have troubled me since that evening in Montreal, and I've come to realize that not knowing the answer to complex questions is not always a bad thing. Sometimes, it's better to keep an open, wondering mind than leap to a comfortable explanation that we mistakenly think is the answer. In The Undoing Project, Michael Lewis highlights this point when he recalls a speech Amos Tversky gave at the University of Minnesota in 1972 to a group of leading historians. At that time, Tversky and Daniel Kahneman were studying how the human mind works in the face of uncertainty, and especially the role of cognitive bias in decision-making and risk assessment. The soon-to-be-famous psychologists hoped that greater awareness of our own biases and efforts to reduce them might lead to improved decision-making. Their work eventually led to a Nobel Prize in Economics. Tversky's speech, Historical Interpretation, Judgment Under Uncertainty, described how a particular shortcoming of the human mind often leads us to believe we know things that we don't. He explained how, when we come upon a puzzling event that we don't understand, in spite of our ignorance, and without any new information to shed light on the surprising event, we begin to create an explanation to make the event understandable. He pointed out that humans are very good at detecting patterns and trends even in random data, and creating stories to make sense of events. Even worse, once we construct our explanation, we tend to stick to it. Tversky described this as a flaw in human reasoning. All too often we find ourselves unable to predict what will happen. Yet, after the fact, we explain what did happen with great confidence. In other words, we prevent ourselves from learning by inventing stories to explain things we really don't understand, and then we defend them. We end up believing the stories and explanations we concocted, and this gets in the way of new learning. Something we desperately need if we are to answer David Suzuki's important question.